Hi, this is Mitch Tyke, and I've moved on from my stint at the Milwaukee affiliate of National Public Radio to a second act, or maybe a sixth or seventh act, with NCPR in upstate New York. This, too, is the second part to an interview. Let's see if Chris and Jim can redeem themselves after their subpar efforts in the first half of the interview, or better yet, maybe the guest will storm out. It's Season 7 of the Bait and Switch Podcast.
Welcome back to the Bait and Switch Podcast. My name is Jim Martin. I'm here with my co-host, as always, Chris Beyer, right over to my left for the viewers.
Hey, Jim. Yeah, we're being filmed tonight.
Yeah, this is, it's unusual. For the most part, I haven't noticed it.
Yep, our guest, Demetrius Chrisman, Chicago-based comedian.
Yep.
He's recording for, he says he's not going to share if he shares it. I think it.
Yeah, it depends on how well it goes.
We'll see. How well it goes, Jim.
So it's our time to shine.
Yeah.
A lot of factors.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, yeah. So it's very discerning, yeah, which is good.
We'll see.
But yeah, so Demetrius L. Jackson.
Yes, sir.
We learned. Welcome. Thanks for coming up again. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, bro.
Yeah, absolutely. So obviously Demetrius is younger than we are.
27. Yeah.
And we are over 50, yep, over on this side of the microphones. Yeah, yeah. Still cool, though.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
As we think we are, our kids don't. But
right, no.
Yeah, I just thought we always try and come up with two parts. First part was talking about his career, and we'll probably talk a little bit about that in the second part here, too. But I thought, what could we talk with? He's a young guy. You know, he's half our age. And we thought, you know, let's talk a little bit about generations here. I see online all these stories about how people in his age category, generation Y, whatever they are, you know, that they're mad at us older people, you know, because we screwed up their future.
Yeah.
So is it true? Right. Have we screwed things up, Demetrius?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah. So what's the beef against us?
Yeah. What do we do?
Well, you guys didn't do anything in particular.
Oh, we did it. We did it.
It's not like, it's just the last, 10 to 15 years, it's really just gone downhill.
Okay.
And everything leading up to that point was kind of on you guys, but I wasn't there, you know, like,
right.
I don't think you consciously did it. I'm not one of those people that's like, oh, you use all the resources and now we're.
I'm waiting for specifics here. Let's, what did we do? What did our generation do?
Look, man, my thing is you guys right now aren't stepping up and putting the people that should be like in check. You're not putting them in check. So, like, the government is going out of control, you know, in my opinion, which, I mean, it's kind of you guys, right? Or it's the people
yes,
in government,
we are the
right?
government. We represent the government. Yeah.
Right, because it's nothing but old people. So, you know, the government's out of control right now. I mean,
were you talking specifically, you know, Biden and Trump, they're so old, they're out of touch? Is that what we're talking about?
I guess, but I think it's more, you know what? It's more of a general nonchalant attitude, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. That's more what it is, like in the older, you know, it's just like, you know, you look at it like, I got mine, so I don't care. The situation. And it's like, well, what about us? You know, what about us? And we're all like blindly going into this. You guys don't have to worry about what happens. No offense. It's not like... Like, oh, you're old, you're going to be dead. But it's like,
no, that's what it sounds like.
I got a long time to go. I got a long time to go.
So do I. Yeah.
you got about 15 minutes. Yeah. You're late to start with tonight. So you don't have that long to go.
Hey, Chicago. Traffic in Chicago.
Yeah. So, I mean, let's just talk about one thing that I hear about housing. They say housing, it's hard to buy a house.
Give me a specific. That's my thing. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Yeah. So let me first go on the attack. You said you're on stage, you're the attacker, right?
Yeah.
So I'll go on the attack. You know what? Your generation is not coupling up. You know, back in the old days, people got married at 25. Two people pooled their resources, got a house. The reason we don't have enough housing units is that everybody's single until they're 40 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe part of the problem is you guys. Get your act together. Couple up and share resources. Let's hear what you got. Are you single? Let's start with that.
I agree. No,
okay,
I
you're
agree
part of the problem. All right.
No, I agree. I agree. I live with my girlfriend and, you know, we share a one bedroom and it's pretty affordable.
You're coupling up.
I'm also a good looking young male comedian. You know, these girls don't like, you know, the average guy.
Do you hide the fact that you're coupled up on stage? Has ever come up? You bring up your girlfriend?
I bring her up, yeah, but only for comedic purposes.
Right, like we just broke up, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I'm available, that type of thing, yeah.
Because it's got to be funny. You know?
Yeah.
But look, okay, I agree with you on that end. Like, I agree that our generation doesn't really do the whole living together thing. Right. I know people who are together and they still won't live together.
Right.
And they've been, you know, dating for 5 years or whatever.
It's back like, back before I got married, my now ex-wife, we didn't live together. And then we got married, and she said, I'll move in on Tuesday. I said, not so fast. Mm-hmm. All right? Just because we got married, yeah. You know, don't make assumptions about things.
I mean, I like my space.
Yeah, yeah. You
know? Come on.
I thought, we need to talk about this before you just start moving in. And we're not married anymore, so maybe that's part of the problem. But anyway. Yeah.
And that's the thing. Like, okay, they won't want to move in. They won't move in with you, right? They don't want to do the whole move-in thing. Because in my opinion, I think guys are down. Mm-hmm. I think it's the younger, our generation of women, they're not really trying to do that because they hold the power, you know, they have all the power. Mm-hmm. They don't have to do it, you know, they can make good money without it. I mean, a girl could start an OnlyFans or whatever, you know, they can get a lot of streams of income. And I think now that women make their own money, they're like, let's see what it's like without them for a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
So we're kind of going through that. I agree with them.
Like, I've certainly heard that you know, one of the big factors in people not. They talk about people not getting married, people not having kids, people not even having sex.
And who's that sound like? Who's the sound like is really making those decisions?
Yeah, yeah. And yeah, you know, right. And again,
it's not us.
Right. We all want women to succeed. But the thing is when women succeed, they tend to want a guy at their level or higher.
Right. And that's kind of what I'm saying. Like, I'm a young male comedian who's doing all right for himself. Mm-hmm. I'd say I'm like, if for my age range, mm-hmm. I'd probably top 25%, right?
35%.
You know, yeah, sure. You know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
30, 40, maybe.
Yeah, sure.
But that's still higher than, you know what I mean? Like the other 70%. So it's like, you know, I would say I'm the exception to the rule, not the rule itself. You know, most guys, like, you know, I have a younger brother who's like 25 and he's struggling, you know, and he lives in California and it's on steroids out there, you know, you got to drive at least a Mercedes or something if they want to give you a chance.
I've probably told this story maybe on the podcast if I haven't before, but back when I was single some 10 years ago or so, I met this one guy who is a tall, handsome guy, and he was on these dating websites, and he had more women than he could shake a stick at, right? Mm-hmm. And so on these dating websites, women tend to swipe on very few men, and men swipe on a lot of women. Well, those top echelon of men, the top five, top 10, top 20% of men, they're going on different dates every night of the week. I use dates in air quotes, right? Mm-hmm. Because this guy, within 3 months of me meeting him, was with a dozen different women.
Right.
And he was never going to pick one because there was always another one coming down the pike.
Right.
And meanwhile, other people couldn't get a date to save their life.
So it's a weird dynamic where it's like, who's really, in my opinion, you know, who's really making the decisions here? Like, because if it were up to the average guy, he'd have a girlfriend and a place to stay and, you know, or like a steady, you know, because a lot of girls don't want to go half on bills. They don't want to, you know, like, submit, you know, in a weird way. I'm not going to use that word, but like, you know, they
you
don't
did,
want
too
to.
Late.
But yeah, exactly. I don't know what other word to use, but they don't want to.
Well, they
like,
don't want to be taken care of, right? They don't think they need to be taken. They're independent
or
already.
And when I say
specifically, they don't want to take care of a guy. That's for sure.
And when I say submit, I don't mean in a sense of like, I just mean submit to the whole program of, you know, get married at 25 or less than 25, really. Get married at 22, have a kid by 25. They don't want to submit to the program of that. Like, not necessarily the man. I mean, because you don't have, like, my girlfriend doesn't submit to me. Mm-hmm. You know, she has her own autonomy, obviously. Like, I don't like words like that, you know, because there's a lot of connotation.
Again, you used it. It's too late. It's out of
the cat's
right.
Thing. But you know what I mean. Like, I think
we do,
people
but
don't
she won't.
Get,
I'll get say this. When it's this air, she won't.
You're going to clip it up to where I
No, no, no. Right. This stuff is going on. This is gold.
What am I on, NBC right now? No,
you don't have any children, do you?
Not
just throwing it out there. Not that you know. Not that you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. So people aren't coupling up and housing is not affordable if you're a single person, right? Mm-hmm. So what else is, you talk about, you talked about politicians. They seem to be on average getting older and older and older, and they might not be in touch with what somebody in your age category is with. So how about politics? Would you ever consider going into politics? You could be the solution.
No.
No.
Because it's a rigged game, man. There's
you could rig it, though. You could rig
it. It's too much money in there. I can't jump in now as a person who has nothing unless I'm going to be a puppet. Mm-hmm. I can't do that, man. That's why I do stand-up, because I need to be able to speak my mind, bro. It's like the last art, maybe here in the UFC. That's it. Like, you know, that's it. I mean, you see in the fighters, they talk crazy. But other than that, that's really it, man. You know, like, I don't see myself submitting. I don't want to be a shell, you know. I need to have, I'm a human being. I have my own thoughts, my own opinions, my own beliefs. You know, and I feel like...
And you don't think that would get you votes, though. That's what you're saying, right?
No.
You don't think if you put out your... There wouldn't be enough of a following for what you believe. What about all the people your age?
Nah.
No?
I don't see it as, like, possible. I like politics. I like to watch, you know. I'm not going to lie. I do like to see what these people say and kind of, you know. But at the end of the day, watching it long enough, you start to read between the lines. And you're like, this is all... It's not fair.
Yeah. I'm going to use a very offensive phrase here. Won't cut this out. Right. We're getting a little bit back to the career thing. Is there a backup plan? Or is that you can't even say that phrase?
No backup plan.
No backup
plan. There was. I used to work at the dispensary I worked at was my dad's company.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
But we got bought out in 2022.
Okay. So now did you get a piece of that or no?
Not enough.
I mean, you don't have to say it.
Not enough.
I shouldn't ask those kind of questions. But,
yeah,
you know.
No, you're good. Not enough. You know, not enough to, like, live for the rest of my life.
Here I go. I'm going to get my Mercedes. Mm-hmm. I live in San Diego.
Right. If I blew the whole load, no. I'm trying to reinvest it right now.
Okay.
I have a nest egg, but it's not, you know, anything that can be lost.
It's not retirement money.
But like you said, the backup plan, you know what? It kind of puts the fire on your ass because I don't have a backup plan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm the guy who doesn't have a backup plan. So I'm driving up to Milwaukee tonight.
Again, right, another thing your girlfriend's going to like to hear.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, she moved out here with me.
She is the backup plan, right? Yeah, I got her. Yeah, that's a great good
point. Yeah, those good looks, they might fade. Here, Demetrius, I don't know. You got good dental work. Keep going with that. Don't accidentally, chip a tooth or something, because you could be out the door.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. I got to make sure I stay tip top shape. But, you know, part of that is stay consistent, stay in the gym, skincare. Yep. You know, I'm not going to give them crow's feet, you know,
Right.
I'm telling you, hey, let me.
Me and Jim are in our 70s. We said 50s. It's 70s.
Let me let you in on a little secret, man. Moisturize, man. My mom's black, you know. I learned some secrets along the way.
So you half don't crack.
Exactly. I stay good and moisturized. I promise they don't go so far. You can start now. You might be able to.
Maybe I'll be able to bring things back.
Nah, I won't bring anything too late. Back, but too it'll late. Stop where it's at. It won't bring nothing back, though.
Yeah, it's backup plan. That's a tough thing because, right, there is that thought that it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, right?
Can you even have a backup plan?
If you have that backup plan, then you're more likely to not do the work.
Exactly. Can you even have a backup plan?
I don't know. Right. I don't know. I think you can.
I don't know, man.
I don't know.
It's hard to, because most of the people who you hear make it,
they didn't.
Like really made it, they didn't, you know?
Do you hear the Jim Carrey story?
I started watching that Netflix documentary.
Okay. But he wrote the check to himself. He wrote like a $10 million check to himself. And like that was his motivation. He used that, you know, now it's not necessarily like I don't have a backup plan, but it's more like visualization, that kind of stuff, you know.
No, that's cool. That's a good idea. I mean, I do little like affirmations type of thing, you know. Yeah. I have like a big calendar that's like on my door.
Yeah.
And I cross off every day I write.
Okay.
And I make sure I try to, like, I can see in a month, like, bro, I didn't write this month. I need to get on top of that.
So how often do you write?
I try to write every day. Mm-hmm. I watch the news. I watch the news. I watch stories. Like, I didn't used to do current event jokes at all. But the thing about current events is, like, it keeps you on your toes. Something's always happening in the world, you know, and it's kind of an interesting situation.
Right, and also it keeps you relevant.
Right.
You know, I mean, you know, you stay up with current events and, you know, people know that and they notice that.
Right. It seem like you're writing, people can tell you're writing all the time if you're talking about current events.
Right.
Because your juices are always flowing when you're doing current events, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so for sure.
So it ends up being like, oh, wow, like this one might not have hit and... You know, but then you might talk, like I was talking about that professor who got fired for doing that, posting those videos online.
Oh, yeah.
University of Milwaukee.
I gave you, we won't go into the line I gave you, but I gave you a good line. I was happy with that line.
Exactly. But it's because I do current event and you just kind of always, because, you know, like I said, I'm trying to be funny, man. I'm not trying to like change the world. So you can just come up with a quick roast.
Yeah.
And your brain just goes from there, and that hits on stage, and you're like, wow. Like,
right.
You know. So let's just assume that we're going forward here with your career. Chicago, that's, you know, the hub of comedy in the Midwest, I'd imagine. Mm-hmm. So is it your hope to be on second city stage more often, or what's the Chicago step forward?
I'm starting Second City in February.
Okay.
Cool. I got to make sure, you know, I'm still going forward and like learning, you know.
But Second City is part of it. If you take the classes there, obviously you got in right there. You're meeting the people.
Right. And exactly. And that's the thing. Sometimes you take the classes and you're like, yeah, I didn't learn 100%, but I met so many people that it's still worth it.
Yeah. Right.
So I'm doing Second City and then I'm going to try, obviously still doing stand up. I want to get my own show going. Maybe in Milwaukee, like going towards the springtime, and kind of like do it through the summer and kind of keep showing face, but definitely at least in Chicago, if not. But I like Milwaukee. I love Milwaukee.
Yeah.
As far as crowds and people, you know, everyone's open-minded. They want to hear what you have to say. They're listening.
Right.
Not so judgmental, you know.
Is it a little more, what's the word I was looking for?
Blue collar?
No.
Laid back?
Accessible.
Yeah.
You know, just feel like you can get into more places up here than you could down there to get up on stage or anything?
With the level of experience I have. Like, I'm not a 10-year comic, you know.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
But, I mean, I've done the Comedy Store. I have my own show. You know, I've done, got a million views. Like, I'm not, like, nobody. And
right.
I feel like I'm talented enough
right.
to hold down a hosting gig of a crowd work show or something like that, you know, mm-hmm. that's not really too common in the Midwest because in California and in Vegas and Phoenix, crowd work shows are everywhere once a week, you know,
and
then you just farm clips from that and it pushes your social.
One of them goes viral.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. But you're doing a whole show every, like at least an hour of footage, you know, that you can sift through.
Yeah. Right.
58 seconds, you know.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, we want to thank Demetrius L. Jackson.
Demetrius L. Jackson.
That's how you go by. Demetrius L. Jackson, thanks for coming on the show. Thanks for coming all the way up.
We really appreciate you.
The furthest distance of any guest here.
Thank you.
And so I'll see you here at the Laughing Tap one of these days, I'm sure. Maybe even this Wednesday.
All right. We'll see you later.
All right. Looks forward to it.
Thanks again. Join us next time on the Bait and Switch podcast for our preview of cycling's Tour of Italy, the Giro.
You've made it to the end of another Bait and Switch podcast. Spread the word.